The following program is produced and distributed by KETR.org. You can help by visiting KETR.org and clicking donate.
Welcome to this week's edition of Lion's Roar from the Texas A&M University Commerce Campus here in Main Cafe. We've got an anxious yet well-behaved crowd today here in Main Cafe. Join us for the show. Very exciting show, football here with Coach Colby Carthel in segment one, and get a basketball preview for both our women's and men's programs with Coach Jason Burton and new men's basketball coach Jared Von Rosenberg in segments two and three, and plenty of great action going on before we jump right in with Coach Carthel. Very exciting weekend coming up for the Lions with cross country at the NCAA regional meet in Canyon, Texas. West Texas hosting that meet, and our three other fall sports are in all in second place right now. Volleyball in second place just behind Tarleton State. Soccer in second place heading the Lone Star Conference Championship as the two seed in St. Angelo this weekend. And so wish them well. And then certainly bringing in our head football coach, second in the conference right now behind Midwestern State, tied with Eastern New Mexico, a logjam up there at the top four, and coming off of a great win, 35-16 in Canyon on Saturday night to go to 7-1 and two left. And then very encouraging news. I think you gave a stat earlier of the top 21 ranked teams in the country in the coaches' poll. Nine of them happen to be in Region 4. So for us to be a seven seed in that region and be ranked ninth nationally speaks to the competitive balance. Before we get into all that, let's talk about great win in Canyon, homecoming of sorts for you. And you know a lot of great memories there. But I like the fact that we won 35-16 on a typically tough place to go play. And also walked away from there with some disappointment on performance. I think that's a credit to the program. I'll let you take us through the game Saturday night.
Yeah, it was a good win, and it's always there's not any bad wins or ugly wins, and football games are tough to win. And we're sitting at 7-1, and there's a lot of teams that would, you know, trade with us in a heartbeat. But, you know, we are holding our guys to a very high standard, and as coaches we don't feel we're quite meeting that yet, which that's why, you know, you pay us to coach, and Dr. Keck hires us. So, you know, we're working on getting some of those things fixed and to get our efficiency where it needs to be in our production across the board, offense, defense, and special teams. We're just leaving a lot out there. And, you know, you got to give some credit to West Texas. I thought they played a great game and one of the better performances out of their quarterback, and they played hard till the end. So, you know, some of the credit has to go to the Buffaloes and the challenge they gave us Saturday night. But it was still a good, you know, 19-point victory, and, you know, win by three scores on the road in Kimbrough, you know, used to be really, really hard to do, and it's still not easy. But it was a fun night to get up there and get that win.
Great win. And now shift attention this week to UT Permian Basin, second-year program, but certainly not at the point of the season where you can look past anything. So talk to us about this week a little bit. What does it look like? We've got to get back up, because basically now we're in a situation where every game's a playoff game, because it really is survive and advance at this point in the year.
It is, and I really look at these guys as a third-year program. You know, they brought in those kids for a full year and redshirted them, so the majority of their team is a redshirt sophomore, and so sure. and they're playing like that. They got their first conference win this season against Western New Mexico, Eastern New Mexico, who's, you know, one of the top 25 teams in the country. They barely escaped with a 20-17 homecoming victory. So on any given Saturday, these guys are good enough and playing hard enough. And, you know, Coach Kerrigan does a good job of that program. They can pose a lot of problems. So I think our guys will be ready to play. It's senior night or senior day, I guess. It's a 4 o'clock start. So, you know, those guys will be excited to play. A lot of really neat seniors in this class. Six or seven of those guys have been with us from the get-go when we turned this program around and played pivotal roles in changing the culture here. Not just, I think, within our football program, but within our athletic department and university. So, you know, it'd be a fun afternoon for those guys, and excited to see us go out there and hopefully, you know, take another step and improve and get ready to hopefully win out and make the playoffs.
In one of our very first conversations back in 2015, really, really, you and I are both passionate and committed to making sure we honor a guy that blazed the trail for you and your staff and student athletes to have the success they had. And we've got a very special now official dedication on Saturday. Talk a little bit about what the Ernest Hawkins Field dedication is going to mean to you.
It's going to mean a whole lot. You know, Coach Hawkins, his family and my family go way back. He and his late wife used to double date with my grandparents. And so that was back at Texas Tech. We're not going to say the date. Coach Hawkins may get mad at me for
to
that,
protect the innocent.
You
yep.
bet. You know, so you know, they've been family friends of ours forever. I remember coming as a third grader when Eastern New Mexico, my dad was coaching. We played right out here at a Memorial Stadium. That was Coach Hawkins last year, and he beat my dad. I think it's 52-48 is a high scoring game. So, you know, he is very instrumental in everything that's going on in this program and the tradition. You know, when I took this job, that's one of the big reasons why is because of the tradition, the 20, you know, Lone Star Conference championships that had been won before. And now we've got that up to 23. So, you know, he is an awesome guy. And you know, it's awesome to have this opportunity to honor him and his family and just his legacy. And that'll live forever. And you know, it's been a great outpouring of support with former players and alums and colleagues and everything else, and you know they're coming out of the woodworks. We've raised nearly $300,000, and that's, you know, that's very few people that have actually signed right. up yet. I mean, it, as the word gets out and the word spreads, I think it's going to, you know, leave a lasting legacy and make a huge impact within our program because all that money that's being raised with this field dedication is impacting our student athletes and football directly.
You've talked many times about it, the 8-day recruiting class, but some of these guys were celebrating on Saturday. We're in that 8-day recruiting class, and mm-hmm. Friday night you've got special plans for them, and then certainly on Saturday. Talk a little bit about that group.
You know, there was, I think, six or seven of them that graduated last year that played as true freshmen, and then, you know, the other handful that are coming out now. And those guys, you know, we first got here at had eight days, and we went out and hit 90-something schools and in a matter of about 3 or 4 days, and is mainly just walk into a high school and say, who wants to come play for the Lions? If they raise their hand, we give them a scholarship. And literally. Yeah. But, you know, through that recruiting, we were able to land some real gems and some guys that have been a cornerstone of this program and some really, really good players, and their parents and their families have just bought in. They've given so much, and it's going to be fun to give back to them, recognize them. We've got a special senior dinner Friday night, and then some recognition stuff going on the field. So and then there's other guys that have been here for three months. You know, we've got a couple one-year senior transfers that have made a big impact on the field and are excited to be here and working on a postgraduate degree and stuff like that. So, you know, it's a wide range in that senior class, but all are very deserving and fantastic student athletes.
Fantastic. 4 o'clock kickoff on Saturday, 3:35 senior day. And really looking forward to celebrating this group, Hawkins Field dedication at 11:45, and again, celebrating that group with their parents on Friday night. So best of luck. We'll talk to you next week. Hopefully be 8-1 and continue to climb north in those regional rankings.
You bet. Thank you.
Head football coach Colby Carthel will be back in segment two with men's basketball head coach Jared Von Rosenberg right after this.
Hello, this is Alex Shiloh from the Lions football team. The Lions Champion Fund is the official support unit for Lion Athletics.
Donations to the LCF go directly to providing a best-in-class experience for all 436 Lion student athletes. I am Sydney Reyes from the Lion volleyball team.
For more information about the LCF, you can visit lionchampionsfund.com.
Again, that's lionchampionsfund.com, and thank you for your best-in-class support.
Back on Lions Roar here in segment two, welcoming in for the first time on Lions Roar, our not really new anymore, but still undefeated men's basketball head coach Jared Von Rosenberg. Coach, thanks for being here.
Absolutely.
Really appreciate it. Let's go back to you and I first met actually during the search process last March when our good friend and colleague Sam Walker made his career transition into alumni engagement, and it gave us an opportunity to get to know each other during the interview process, talk a little bit about that, and you know what attracted you. Obviously, you had the advantage of knowing this is a special place and opportunity, and obviously the chance to be a head coach is attractive, but as you told me, you weren't looking at every head coaching job, and very frankly, as I said in the press conference, one thing that you did was you showed me you wanted the A&M Commerce job, not just a job.
Absolutely. You know, it was a whirlwind when this whole process started, but it was exciting at the same time. I had to get my resume ready. I was at my alma mater as an assistant coach and very happy to be there and be working. And when this opportunity came about, you know, because of obviously the direction of athletic department, the university as a whole, Dr. Keck and the support we get for athletics makes this a dream job. And, you know, when you get an opportunity to take a head coaching job, sometimes it's not always in the right spot to be successful right away. And this was that job that, you know, talking to everyone that I knew from my previous time here said that the direction and trajectory of this whole organization is really on the up and up, and that's what made it the most attractive.
We just talked about with Coach Carthel when he got here in 13, the 8 days to put together. You had a few more days than that, but and with basketball having a little bit different recruiting calendar than football, it is certainly different But, you know, between there's a lot of different avenues to take here. There's the transfer route between junior college and four-year. There's certainly the freshman in high school route and signing those, and then just finding those that, like you said, fit best into the context of the program. So talk a little bit about how you've constructed the roster, three returnees, and how it all came together. And frankly, I think, you know, getting a lot of what you would call in that first year our first choices. Talk about the roster assembly over the last 6 months.
Absolutely. You know, a credit to a lot of the people around here, Coach Andy Smith, who has taken a job in New Mexico State, who helped throughout the transition in the recruiting process. But we wanted to come in and identify, we wanted to get young freshmen that could build a program with us moving forward. And then we had to go identify talent that could help us be competitive right away. And, you know, there's so many avenues like you alluded to, but, you know, we were able to kind of pull and draw people that we wanted as first choices from all those avenues, and we're very successful. You know, obviously when we start playing games, we'll see how successful, but we're really excited about the group that we have in our locker room. We talk about opportunities and take advantage of every single one, and all 13 guys in that locker room, whether they're freshmen or one-year transfers from four-year programs, have really bought into that mantra and, you know, day by day trying to get better, and as we lead up to our opening weekend next weekend.
So you talked about that, and you got them limited time, 8 hours. I don't think you let much to the guy's chagrin, the balls didn't get to come out because we're going to play defense first, and let that create our offense, as you've told me many times, and you watch the guys roll their eyes a little bit and all that. But that's a lot of fun being around this group. But from the time we've been going almost, well, a little over 2 weeks now, what have you been most impressed with? What do you see as areas of opportunity, and now finally, as we tape this tomorrow night, you'll have some film against somebody else to watch. So talk a little about that.
Absolutely. So this is practice 13 coming up today. We've had a couple of two-a-days, the first couple of days, but 13 days we've had a chance to get on the floor and work offense. And, you know, I told those guys, come November 10th, we've got to be ready to guard and make it tough on people to score to give ourselves a chance to win November 10th. We hope as the year goes on that our offense will catch up to our defense. And so 13 practices of offense, I'm most excited about the willingness to change, especially returners that have been in college and have been at this program and done it a certain way. And then all the new guys just opening up their minds and their hearts and just pouring into what we're trying to do and try to execute. And I'm really pleased with where we're at in this early in the season.
Home opener, November 21st. It's a Tuesday of Thanksgiving week. It's Sam Walker night. Apparently that guy won a couple of games around here in the past, and we're going to do a lot of special things honoring him. I know he's a mentor to you and to so many, so really looking forward. We'll have more details coming out on that over the next few weeks, but certainly look forward to honoring him and then showing our fans the first glimpse of the 2017-18 Lions.
Yeah, the new team. You know, he really blazed the trail here, obviously, for made it easy for me to come in and take over. And we're just excited to have an opportunity to show the community, our university, and fans what he means to this program still and what he's done in the past.
Absolutely. All right, now, I would say only by your good colleague Jason Burton, who moved one door down from the athletic director, you're moving across the street from a very special VIP guest. I think if you count the Magnuson, this is your third, you know, this will be your third move since you got to Commerce. So,
yes.
Very excited. I know you and Sarah and Jackson happy to have the house. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it's been hectic. We stayed in the Magnuson for 2 weeks. We've stayed in an apartment complex for about a month, and now we're in a rent house. But we're building a house straight across the street from Colby. And what I'm telling everyone in the community is if you're upset with men's basketball and men's football, you can egg both houses at the same time.
The same
you don't have
drive.
To go to two locations. So,
yeah.
No, we're excited. It's a great neighborhood, and we're just excited to get settled into Commerce. And, you know, obviously Jackson, want him to grow up here and, you know, make our lives here.
Fantastic. Appreciate it. We'll be seeing a lot more of you as we tip off here again on the 21st. And a lot of great work ahead. Looking forward to an exciting winter. And I know we've got a lot of promotions and ticket specials and group deals, and we'll talk more about that next time with our Field the Field House event coming up in February, Education Day on December 7th, and a lot of special group nights. Our marketing external communications team's done a terrific job putting together a promotional schedule, and appreciate you and Coach Burton's willingness to help us get this thing going.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, and we're excited to see everyone out at the Field House.
All right, Coach Rose, look forward to it. We'll be back in our final segment with Jason Burton from women's basketball right after this.
Hi, the program you're enjoying right now was made possible by a group of folks just like you who make contributions to public radio. Support programs just like this one. Visit KETR.org and click donate.
Back in our final segment of Lions Roars, we welcome in women's basketball head coach Jason Burton for segment three. And Coach, welcome. Great to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, appreciate it. Before we talk a little bit about our women's basketball program, what we've got coming up, you've been involved over the last 2 years in several NCAA professional development opportunities with coaches and going up to Indianapolis. I know this summer involved in a sleep study there. If you can, give us a little bit of an update about that, because that's really a not only a nice feather in the cap for the institution and our program, but certainly a testament to you and your leadership on a national level.
Right, yeah. I was extended the opportunity to go out there, I think, last May and have an opportunity to sit on a panel. And it was a panel involving sleep and wellness and the sleep and wellness of our student-athletes. And it was very interesting because they had various professional medical people and also athletic directors and a couple of the coaches there. And a lot of research on study. And it's definitely a new topic that they're really trying to research right now. And the wellness of our student athletes. And so the main thing that came out of that meeting was that there are some things athletes aren't getting enough sleep, and we know that the demands of the student athlete are high, especially when you're trying to win and compete at a national level. But what can we do as far as being able to get them the proper amount of rest, the proper amount of nutrition and all that? And so there's good dialogue, but it's an evolving topic that we'll have to revisit.
Absolutely. Really, again, a testament and representing the institution, the conference, and certainly being recognized as a national leader in that great, great opportunity for us. Now let's get back on the court. When we left, we'd won 20 games. Unfortunately, finished about a couple weeks too early at the LSC tournament. The hard-fought loss to Tarleton, missing, you know, two key starters throughout the season, and now returning an experienced nucleus. Talk about from, you know, a little bit off season in the spring, all the way up to through summer, and how that returning nucleus has responded. And then we'll talk about the newcomers.
Right, I thought last year we swept Tarleton in the regular season and overcame a lot. When you have two starters go out with ACLs and your rotation shortens up a little bit, and you're asking people to step up. And I thought we did a good job of really stepping up when five players are recognized by the conference and they're all conference. In some form or fashion, we really had people step up and perform. And at that point in the season, you know, Kayla Riley played with a broken finger. I don't think a lot of people knew that. And
right.
And so to lose to Tarleton in the conference tournament but still get 20 wins, I was very proud of that team. But the good thing we got out of that was you got a lot of experience. You had the freshman of the year coming back and Jenna Price and then people like Artasia Gay and Princess Davis who are coming to their fourth year in the program. Even though Princess wasn't able to play the whole season, she got a lot of that just watching and being able to see things from – a coach's perspective, because she got to sit out and really hear and watch a lot of things. And Lauren Parker back off her ACL as well. And so Jordan Williams, Courtney Fields, a lot of experience coming back. And that what that's done with Brianna Wise All-Conference, what that's done is it really allowed them to be able to step up and be leaders in practice this year. And when you have people on your team that know what the expectations are in the conference, how to win in the conference, know what we expect as a program and other program standards, they're able to hold our newcomers to a high standard. And so I'm very excited about them coming back and the new pieces that we added to our program as well.
Terrific. As you've started, let's talk about some of those newcomers, because, again, like Coach Rose mentioned in segment two, and I think you've done a fantastic job. You know, you want to balance that high school kid that you've got for four, maybe 5 years, depending on how it plays out. You've got the transfer opportunities. You're always, you know, I think at this level you've got one ear to the ground and eye to the ground on that. And so just talk about how the roster has shaped, because you don't just recruit or take a transfer for 17, 18. You've got to think ahead in terms of balancing classes. Talk about how the roster management piece is gone.
Right. Well, we actually brought in 9 people and 5 freshmen, 4 transfers, and brought in a Division I transfer, a grad transfer, in Melanie Ransom. She came from Davidson, and what's exciting about us, about her, is that, you know, being a Division I graduate, she had the opportunity to go wherever she wanted to go and had Division I schools calling her, and it came down to us in Clemson, and she chose us over Clemson, and her reason was that she wanted to go somewhere and win and be able to compete right away and be a part of that winning, and she's going to be huge for us. Her experience and playing 4 years at a program for 4 years at the Division I level at a high level, she's super talented and brings a lot of experience. And then Jasmine Eckerman is a Division II transfer who is very versatile. And that's the thing I like about our class, is that we brought a lot of versatility, people that can play multiple positions. Breanne Washington came from Cisco Junior College, and she shoots the lights out. And she'll definitely help us improve our shooting. That was one thing that we really wanted to go out and get better at, was shooting. And Melanie and Breanne really do that at a high level. And then London Holland was another Division I transfer from Florida A&M. And so that rounds out our transfers. And then you bring in 5 freshmen that, you know, size, speed, athleticism, and really can come in behind our veterans and learn. I'm very excited about our freshman group.
Terrific. We'll look forward to talking more about them. One thing before we let you go, because next week we're probably going to be back in soccer, volleyball, as they're wrapping up their season, certainly. But I do want to make sure, we very special event coming up next Thursday in the Thrower Center. 1525 reception. We're going to dedicate the tutor room there. Talk a little bit about the event and certainly want to see everybody come out.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I've been, I guess, the most proud of off the court is the work we've done with the 1525 and what Devin Oliver and Aubrey Butts have meant to our program. And this is the first year we've actually been able to award somebody the scholarship for the Devin Oliver and Aubrey Butts Memorial Scholarship. It's a long title.
Yeah.
But our first award recipient is here this year, and so we'll have a chance to meet her, but also to dedicate the room. There's a tutoring room in our Thrower Center. Our Thrower Center is amazing. I don't know that everybody knows who Devin Oliver and Aubrey Butts are, and so I have a chance to really put some faces and some words behind the sign in the Thrower Center. I think it's going to be a special event, and it's free. Anybody that can make it out, we'd love to have them out. Food will be there, and you'll have a chance to meet our current roster and our current staff and kind of hear a season preview of what we have going on, because we have a special event with the 1525 Memorial Tournament coming up, mm-hmm. and that'll open up at home this year. And so a lot of fun next Thursday and a chance to really get some inside information on our team.
Awesome. Hey, look forward to a very productive winter, and this will be a weekly spot for you and Coach Rose coming up here in the next couple of weeks. And as we carry that momentum of our fall sports into the winter, look forward to continued success and really looking forward to seeing women's basketball this season.
Yes, sir. Look forward to it.
Thanks, all right, Ted. That's Coach Burton. As we wrap up here on this week's edition of Lions Roar, again, big weekend for football, final regular season home game, senior day, Ernest Hawkins Field dedication. Best of luck to Sockers. They're fighting to hold on to their regional ranking at Angelo State this weekend, the LSC tournament. Best of luck to cross country at regional track and Canyon. And finally, volleyball on a big, big, big road swing this week to visit Western and Eastern New Mexico as they continue to hold on, hopefully, to their second place standing in Lone Star Conference play. So look forward to seeing you again next week. Thanks, everybody, and go Lions.